Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
TV Bible Study is a serious effort to study in depth every word of God. Each 30-minute lesson has been carefully arranged to assist you with your study of God's Word.
Now notice what we've seen thus far in our study, that John the Baptist said that Jesus would be the administrator of the baptizing with the Spirit, and so the Lord would make it possible. And Joel said, as we read from the second chapter of Acts, verse 17 following, that in the last days God would pour forth of His Spirit. Notice, here's the future promise that the pouring forth of the Spirit would occur in the last days. And Peter said this is that which Joel had predicted and prophesied. Now then, we have seen thus far in our study that the baptizing with the Spirit was simply the promise or the outpouring of the Spirit by Jesus on the day of Pentecost, and that the expressions poured forth and baptizing are figurative expressions, and they are used to describe the actual or the literal sending of the Spirit by Jesus on the day of Pentecost. Now then, before we look at the empowering gifts from the Spirit that we read about here in our section of Acts 2, let's go toward the conclusion of the sermon that we want to analyze further in our study here in Acts 2. But in verse 33, Peter is getting toward the conclusion of this great messianic sermon, which convicted 3,000 people of their unbelief and unrighteousness. And he said, as recorded in verse 33, therefore, having been exalted, that's Jesus Christ, verse 32, having been exalted at the right hand of God. You remember earlier we went back to John 7, verse 35 following, and learned that at that particular point of the Lord's ministry, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now then, Jesus has been glorified at the right-hand side of the Father. He's now exalted there. And so it is now the appointed time for the sending of the Spirit since Jesus has been exalted. And so being exalted at the right hand of God, God the Father, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, the sending of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Now the expression poured here in this verse is aorist tense. And here's what that means. That means a complete act in one point of time in the past. We don't know how long it took for each of the apostles to praise and magnify God and His greatness in all of the various languages of the people who were present here in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. But from the time of what took place in Acts 2, verse 1, until the events recorded here in verse 33, Peter now goes back to the very time that the Spirit was poured forth or sent. And he said, with regard to the promise of the Father to pour forth the Spirit, or to send the Holy Spirit, this has already occurred. And when he said, He has poured forth this, this complete act in one point of time in the past has been completed today. When Jesus sent the Spirit today, then that promise of the sending or the baptizing with the Spirit has occurred. Now then, in order to further confirm this point, we need to turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 is greatly misunderstood by religious people today. In the matter of Cornelius, the first uncircumcised Gentile, to hear, believe, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a fellow heir of the body of Christ, the church of our Lord. Some unusual events took place here in Acts chapter 10. First of all, we're told of the traits and characteristics of this man, and he was an outstanding man, a God-fearing man, but he was a sinner, and he knew that he was a sinner, and he was obviously pleading for God to help him understand more about Jesus. According to Acts 10, he knew a few things with regard to the Lord, but not enough truth in Christ to save him. And so he was beseeching the Father in prayer And God heard his prayer. And an angel appeared to him and told him to send for the Apostle Peter, who would come and speak words whereby he and his household could be saved. So after several days, Peter finally comes to Caesarea Philippi, where this man Cornelius and his household were. And they greeted one another, Acts 10, verse 23, following records this for us. And then finally Peter, after some comments, begins to preach to this man, began to present the very words whereby he and his household could be saved. And as recorded here in Acts 10, verse 43 following, is where we'll start for our study today. Peter said to Cornelius, of him, that is Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. You remember earlier we observed that from Acts 1, verse 8, when Jesus promised that the apostles would receive power, and that it would fall upon them and come upon them. And we pointed out at that time that every time the passage says concerning the Spirit that it had fallen upon certain ones or had come upon them, that it had reference to some miraculous gift from the Spirit and not the indwelling the Spirit, which every Christian then and even today receives at the point of believing obedience to Christ. Now notice, while Peter was presenting the very words whereby he and his household could be saved, the Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Peter is preaching, and Cornelius and his whole household are present, listening. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter, if you'll turn over a page to Acts chapter 11, you will learn that some six brethren, that's verse 12 of Acts 11, went with the Apostle Peter. God wanted the events of Acts chapter 10 confirmed with reputable and a sufficient number of witnesses. And so six Jewish brethren are with the Apostle Peter. And now these seven Jewish brethren are astonished and amazed that the empowering from the Spirit in the form of the gift of tongues had come upon Cornelius and his household. So notice, all of the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Now we'll come back to these verses a little further in our study when we discuss the empowering from the Holy Spirit. This is an example of the direct empowering of the Spirit without the imposition of hands, without the laying on of the hands of the apostles. But Peter and the brethren with him were astonished. And now they recognized that on the day of Pentecost, as Peter had proclaimed on that day without a full understanding, that in the last days God would pour forth his Spirit upon all flesh. Now that passage is found back in Acts 2, verse 17 following, as it was quoted from Joel chapter 2, that in the last days how much of the Spirit would be poured forth? All of the Spirit would be poured forth or sent upon all flesh. Now, the word here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 45, poured out, is perfect tense. And that denotes a process completed in the past having present results. And so it denotes a perfect state of being resulting in a continuing and perfect state. Something in the event, in the past, some great event had occurred. And so Peter is going all the way back to the beginning place. Acts 11 talks about Pentecost as the beginning. And we'll read those passages in a moment while we're on this discussion of Cornelius and his household. So Peter's explaining in Acts chapter 11 to the apostles and the brethren there why he had gone and preached Christ to an uncircumcised man in his household, Cornelius, and why he not only had taught to them, but had fellowship with them and social fellowship and association with them and taught them and baptized them into Christ. They didn't understand. And so Peter had to explain it to them. And Acts chapter 11, the first 16 verses, records that explanation. And when they heard it, why, immediately they ceased their controversy with the Apostle Peter. They held their peace. They began to praise God, saying, truly God hath granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. And so here in the 11th chapter, where Peter is explaining the events in order that took place, he said, as I began to speak unto this man, the very words whereby he and his household could be saved, this is Acts 11, verse 15 following, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. If the Spirit fell upon Cornelius, as he is referring to what we've just read in Acts chapter 10, that meant that the Spirit came upon Cornelius to empower him with some miraculous gift. He said, as I began to speak these very words whereby Cornelius and his household could be saved, the sermon was interrupted. And so the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. So Peter had to go all the way back to Pentecost to find another incident where the Holy Spirit had directly empowered the servants of the Lord. We're studying in Acts chapter 2 and learning that the Spirit fell upon the apostles and empowered them on that beginning day. No one laid their hands upon the apostles in order that they might receive some gift from the Spirit. And here in Acts chapter 10, while Peter is preaching, the Holy Spirit directly, without the laying on of hands, empowered Cornelius and his household with the gift of tongues. Now, the purpose of the empowering from the Holy Spirit was to convince Jew and Gentile that God was going to save the Gentiles just like the Jews on the basis of faith in Christ, a system of grace faith, and that Cornelius did not have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And Acts chapter 15, the first few verses, illustrate that truth. Peter had to go back to Cornelius' salvation in the discussion that's taking place in Jerusalem years later, as recorded in Acts chapter 15, to prove that point. But now here's what we're learning from Acts 10:45. When Peter said, oh, I'm now amazed and astonished, I understand now for the first time that when the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus on the day of Pentecost, that it was sent one time for all time, and that it was for all flesh. And now, since the Holy Spirit was sent upon all flesh, I now understand how the Holy Spirit is available now to empower Cornelius if it were the will of the Spirit to do so, which it was, of course, on this occasion. But this shows that the sending of the Spirit, the baptizing with the Spirit, was an event that took place on the day of Pentecost. Now then, so let's remind ourselves once again as to the significance of what we have seen here in Acts 2 with regard to the sending or the pouring forth or the baptizing with the Spirit. That event took place, as recorded here, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and it was the promise or the outpouring of the Spirit by Jesus, as he said he would send the Spirit, John 14:15-16, on the day of Pentecost, and that the terms poured forth and baptizing are figurative expressions which are used in the New Testament to describe the literal or the actual sending of the Spirit. If we can begin to see that what Jesus promised to do was to send the power giver, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, the helper, and after the Holy Spirit was sent by the Lord, immediately he began to give gifts as he willed to give gifts here in the first century. We're going to see in our study that the Holy Spirit gave spirits directly, Acts 2 and Acts 10, upon Cornelius and upon the apostles. We would infer upon Saul of Tarsus after he was converted and was an apostle of our Lord, Acts 9. It's not as clear with regard to Saul as it is the apostles, Acts 2, and Cornelius, Acts 10. Without the laying on of hands, directly the Spirit empowered the apostles and empowered Cornelius and his household with the gift of tongues. And we know the purpose of such empowering. Now then, having looked at the baptizing with the Spirit, we want to consider some of the miraculous gifts from the Spirit. And in our study at this point, we are to see that some will receive the Spirit directly to empower them, and others receive the Spirit to empower them through the laying on of the apostles' hands. So we're through with our study of what the promise was concerning the baptizing with the Spirit, the completion of that event, as we've already seen. And now then, we see that when the Holy Spirit came upon of the apostles, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that expression means to be influenced or to be controlled by. If we say a person is filled with anger, we know that he is controlled and influenced by that anger. If one is filled with the Spirit, he's influenced and controlled by the Spirit. There are passages which teach us that we today are to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be influenced by the Spirit's message, and we will demonstrate it in our praise unto God, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, in our worship unto God in the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The context helps us determine whether or not it was a miraculous empowering or the ordinary empowering through the Word. Here in Acts 2, the record tells us that after the apostles were filled with the Spirit, after Jesus sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to influence immediately the apostles. Notice, first of all, the Spirit gave the apostles the ability to speak in foreign languages. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, as the Spirit willed to give such gifts to the apostles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Now notice the effect of the gift of tongues upon this huge audience on the day of Pentecost. When the sound of the apostles praising God in all the various languages of the people present, when this sound occurred, the multitude in the temple area came together to where the apostles were. And they were bewildered, Luke tells us, because they were each one, each of the people out there in the area in the temple, began to hear them, the apostles, speak in his own language. We get the word dialect from the word that's translated language. It wasn't just the language that these people spoke back in their home country. It was the very dialect of that language which they heard from each of the apostles. We don't know how long it took for Peter to speak in each of the dialects of the people present, and then another apostle. But they did not need any kind of an interpreter. They just needed to be patient and wait until their language was thus spoken by each of the apostles. Notice the next verse. They were amazed, marveling, saying, why, these 12 men are Galileans. They're from another province. We know their dialect. You remember Peter was identified prior to the death of our Lord on the basis of his being a Galilean, his dialect. They said, here are Galileans, and they're speaking in the very dialect, the very language that we speak back in our home country. And if you want to know all of the countries represented, jump down here to verse 9, where Luke tells us there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and even some proselytes, people from the district of Rome. So here were all of the different cultures, although they were Jewish religiously and could understand the Jewish language. They came together and began to hear each of the apostles praise the wonderful works of God in their own dialect. And the record tells us they were amazed. They said, we hear them, each of the apostles, in our own language to which we were born. So the gift of tongues, which the Spirit gave the apostles the ability to exercise, meant the ability to speak in a foreign language flawlessly, perfectly, in the very dialect of that language. That ought to clarify in the minds of some people today who are confused with regard to whether or not people are even promised by the Holy Spirit to receive such gifts today. We will see in some future studies that the Holy Spirit did not will to give such miraculous gifts beyond the apostolic day and age, just during the time of the apostles. We will see that in our study. But now notice the effect that the gift of tongues had upon this audience. They were bewildered. They were astonished. They were amazed. And some of them even cried out in a mocking way, why, these apostles are filled with sweet wine, verse 13. They're drunk on grape juice, you know, a term of derision. Now, verse 14 says, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, the gift of tongues has already served its purpose They are no longer proclaiming this message using the gift of tongues. If we had the time, we'd go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, where Paul affirmed that those who had the gift of tongues in the apostolic day and age spoke not to men, but unto God. And in the study of 1 Corinthians 14, we see that through the gift of tongues, men were given the ability to either sing unto God or pray unto God in a foreign language. They did not use the gift of tongues to preach the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you speak to men. But in the use of the gift of tongues, they spoke unto God or toward God. And so now the gift of tongues has been completed here on the beginning day, here in Acts chapter 2. And now Peter is standing with the 11, and he raises his voice, and he begins to speak to men. And so he is speaking in their own Hebrew language or dialect. Anyone in the temple area, as we'll learn from Acts 21 and Acts 22, spoke the Jewish language. And so now Peter starts speaking to them. And he said, "Now, men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as some of you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day." It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, as we reckon time, and it was a very serious and very jubilant feast day. The very idea that a person being drunk in the temple area at 9 o'clock in the morning was unheard of. And so Peter has refuted that statement that some had made. But he said, "This is that which was spoken of through the prophet Joel." And he quotes the passage that we've already looked at, verse 17. And then he said, "The empowering from the Spirit would take place in the last days." And in verses 17 through 20, time does not permit us in this particular study to go back to some Old Testament references to see what Joel chapter 2 predicted. Let me just recommend that you read Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah chapter 13. If you just read those two chapters, that will enable one to see that in the Old Testament, when reference is made to the day of the Lord, it had reference to God's judgment upon a wicked nation or a wicked city. And so the day of the Lord came time and time again upon wicked nations and wicked cultures back in Old Testament times. And so the day of the Lord foretold by Joel was the day of God's judgment upon the Jewish nation, which took place in A.D. 70, September of A.D. 70. And here the Apostle Peter is warning the people in Jerusalem of the consequences of their unbelief and unrighteousness. If they do not turn and believe in Jesus and they're still alive, they will experience, those who are living in Jerusalem will experience God's judgment. The day of the Lord would come upon them. So that's covered in verses 17 through verse 22. Now, before we analyze the sermon, which starts in verse 22, all that we've said thus far with regard to when the day of Pentecost was and the significance of that day, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the empowering that came upon the apostles, the explanation of what has taken place, all of that was introductory. The sermon starts in verse 22. But before we get to that sermon, it'll be helpful at this point just to topically look at how people received the Holy Spirit to empower them with miraculous gifts in the first century. And of course, we say in the first century because that's the only time and age that people have been promised by the Spirit that they would receive miraculous empowering or gifts from the Holy Spirit. And so we want to go to several other places now to see that the Holy Spirit gave gifts through the laying on of the apostles' hands. But may I stress again that it was the will of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 2, 3, and 4 make that abundantly clear. As a matter of truth, let's just turn over to that section of Scripture because we will make reference to it as we discuss miracles, their nature and design, and the period of time that miracles were performed. We will refer to the passage of Scripture found in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. The writer had spoken of the superiority of Jesus in chapter 1, well, in every chapter, of course, but in chapter 2, he said, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention, since God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, his magnified and exalted Son, to what we've heard. Then he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's Hebrews 2, verse 3. After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also bearing witness with them. You might underline the word them. God has not promised to confirm any message through us today, any other people. He revealed it and confirmed it once and for all. Read Jude verse 3, which emphasizes that point. God bearing witness with them. How did God do it? Both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Now that's a key statement. Here were miraculous gifts from the Spirit. They were given to people in the first century according to the Holy Spirit's own will. So we need to be impressed with the fact that it was the will of the Spirit to empower the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and only the apostles, until we get to Acts chapter 6. And we'll go through some references here in Acts 3, Acts 5, get to Acts 6 to see how that some people other than the apostles were finally empowered by the Holy Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands.
Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal. Hold up that splendor by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven shining portal. Show me the glory gilding Jordan's wave. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise.